Clint Sterner. Look at Sterner.
95.7 The Fan presents...
Clint Sterner is the last man standing. Now, who is Clint Sterner?
His two strongest strengths, he's competitive and he's smart.
Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I'm going to put my hands on this bathroom counter and see if I can't twerk a little bit, see what it looks like, see what it feels like.
The Drive is live for Dirty's Daily.
Dirty's Daily. Dirty's Daily is powered by Verlo Mattress, boys. You ain't heard me talk about them in a while. Not real sure where they went, but I do sleep on a Verlo mattress every single night. And I'm going to tell you boys something. Yesterday was a day for you, boy. 5 a.m., up at 5 a.m., didn't go to bed until 2 a.m. kind of day. Not kind of day. That is the day it was. Right? Caught a flight early morning. Got home in time to go to check in with my heart doctor. Dropped Granny off at her place. We did a little half of our radio show. Had about an hour and a half meeting with a builder and our crew that's helping us there. Obviously had to go watch a game, which was significantly longer than most games, given that the last three quarters were awful. And then about a little 2 hour, 45 minute, maybe 3 hour post game show, right? Rough, long day for you, boy. But, I shut it down on that Verlo mattress. And I'm going to tell you, big shout out to wifey too. Let me sleep in a little bit this morning. Boy, that thing did me good last night, Ron.
Did it?
Woo! Boy, hey, I bet I was snoring. In fact, I know I did. I got mad at my wife for yanking my pillow. She could have just, you should just tap me on the side, but she yanked my damn pillow last night, which spun my head around. I got mad and May said a little something, but I don't even know if she heard me. But that mattress, woo-wee, boy, that thing is.
That's what you need right there.
That thing was nice, man. Yeah. Appreciate you, Verlo. All right, now the Texans preseason game number 2, y'all, is in the books. It's in the books. We're right around the corner from some real action that matters. We got one more joint practice and preseason game with the Carolina Panthers. Probably not going to see much action, if any, from anybody that they consider to be a starter. But we'll see how D'Amico decides he wants to handle it. Last night, Ron, the starters on the offense played. The starters on the defense did not. I think the only starter on the defensive side of the football that I saw out there was Reed Blankenship, which makes sense. He's the one guy that's going to play a prominent role, a prominent communication role on this team, on the defense, and he doesn't have many reps. And so getting reps of communicating and being the quarterback from the top down with his defense, I would imagine was some really valuable reps for him. It probably also helps the team evaluate the younger guys, knowing that you got somebody out there getting them in the right spot and communicating the play calls and everything on time. So that's the only starter or guy that we think is going to be a starter on the defense that did play. Offensively, there were three guys to my knowledge, Ron, that didn't play. David Montgomery, the running back that the Texans acquired, going to be running back RB1. Tight end 1 in Dalton Schultz and wide receiver 1 in Nico Collins. Those are the three guys that we did not see because they were resting. They were out. They were avoiding injury. Okay? Everybody else played. And I got three things for y'all in response and after I reviewed the film for preseason game number 2. Ron, number 1. Ed Ingram at right guard and Trent Brown at right tackle, they were dominant. We know Ed Ingram's specialty is run blocking. He was one of the better run blocking guards in the game last year. When we did see Trent Brown last year, it was undeniable. You can't ignore it. His ability to manhandle grown NFL players is in a different world. Once he gets his grips on you, once he gets his anchor down, when he's got his grips on you, it's a wrap. It's over. And last night, that right side of the offensive line, it was obvious that Nick Cayley and or C.J. Stroud was running the football behind those two guys. And They were moving mass. The one thing that looks completely different, really with everybody on this offensive line, but definitely with these two guys, is when they double-team somebody, they double-team somebody the way it's supposed to look. I don't know how this has been such a problem for the Texans over the last, hell, since I've been covering the team. It was almost like they were either disinterested or coached in a way to almost neglect double-teams, right? This team... there is no doubt about it. Cole Popovich says, y'all better both get this guy, move mass, and before you go to the second level, whichever offensive lineman is responsible for that defensive lineman better have good grasp on him. It's obvious. But, Ron, that right side of the offensive line was dominant last night, and I believe they were dominant in a way that this is going to play in the regular season. Like, they're going to have to do some things from play-calling perspective to protect Trent Brown in pass protecting. They're going to have to live with some things with Ed Ingram in pass protection. But when it comes to doing what they, number one, want to do on this team in Texas and with the Texans is run the football, running to that right side, Ed Ingram and Trent Brown, is real, and I think it's going to play against the better defensive linemen in this league.
Yeah, it was a big thing to see last night because it was the number one thing that they have been trying to push and preach all day. I do want to get to this real quick because we can't get back to the offensive line, but we got to discuss this throughout the rest of the show. According to Mike Garofalo, Ian Rappaport, the Texans are signing two veteran wide receivers. Sterling Shepard played for the Giants for a while, went to Oklahoma. Zay Jones, he was with the Raiders, the Jags for a while as well. Sources say that they are signing both of them. They impressed in workouts today, and they're joining the wide receiver crew after the injury to Jaden Hickens. So that is some of the big news that has happened here in the last 10 minutes or so, as they are bringing in two wide receivers coming off the injury. Now, back to what you're saying, that the offensive line and that push over there was huge, and pushes everywhere. Even the one run, Clint, that they got stopped on, the line got pushed, and there would have been lanes there and a play there. It's just Hutchinson got beat on the inside from the slot corner. But it seemed like almost every time they handed the ball off, there was movement forward, which was something that we thought would be improved. It was good to actually see it be improved.
Yeah, it was good. And I think it plays in the regular season. I mean, when you got those two guys and you attach a Foster Moreau, you put in a grimy, physical Cade Stover, you know, you got guys like Jarrett Wayne and even Nico Collins and some of these bigger receivers blocking on the edge. I mean, you can really create a surface over there, a run surface over there, where you can move some people and have a lot of success. It all starts with Ingram and Brown. And last night, I think again, which I said last year when he played, but again, if you watched last night, like, there's no doubt your right tackle is Trent Brown. I mean, he just does things that most folks can't do.
That was a big thing to see him play in the game, because I didn't know how many preseason games he playing, and then to see, like, no, he seems to be rolling with it.
Well, that's number one. Number two, the running back Woody Marks. It was a short stint, small sample size, but I'm gonna tell you, man, I know I've been pushing for him change of pace, third down back. It's gonna be hard to keep Woody Marks off the field, boys. That was an angry run last night. What's old buddy's name that does angry runs?
No, Kyle Brandt.
Kyle Brandt. He's gonna. I don't know if he's taking that stick from NFL Network to ESPN, but it seems like he's pretty committed to it. Woody Marks' touchdown run last night would have been an angry run. That physicality, obviously, the explosion and the speed to hit the hole the way he did. That's an angry run 10 out of 10 times. The other piece is the pass pro piece. I mean, there's one where there's double A gap. By alignment, there's double A-gap potential. He moves up in the A-gap. It's an obvious passing situation. And they bail both of the A-gap blitzers and bring a corner. He fans out, scans out to his right, and picks up the corner. C.J. Stroud completes a ball to Foster Moreau for a first down. I mean, Woody Marks and his ability to pass protect is really – that's ultimately what gave him the that's who made Woody Marks who he is with the Texans. If he couldn't pass protect the way that I just outlined, he would have never got the shot last year as the lead back when things went south. So that ability is just – should not go unnoticed. But Woody Marks had a good game, and like I said, it's going to be hard to keep him, even with David Montgomery. I think David's going to be great, but it's going to be hard to keep that Woody Marks right there off the field.
Hey,
Come on,
I told you, man.
I mean, I can't believe you ain't hit us with a told you so yet. I'd have been screaming that from the mountaintop.
It's a little quick, but my whole thing is.
Ooh, that's convincing.
My whole thing is, again, this isn't going to be like Nick Chubb. Like, David Montgomery is not done. Like, he's not cooked, right? I think David Montgomery is still going to be a really good back. But he's going to be a really good complimentary back, along with Woody Marks being a really good complimentary back. I think this is going to be much closer to what he did in Detroit than maybe him just taking and being the bell cow running back here. Woody is something else. Because Woody, I think the big thing that Woody has that, yesterday we saw a ton of push. I'm not sure we're going to see that all the time. But what Woody has is that he has the make something out of nothing in him. The, oh, I got to make a guy miss in the hole. I got to make something that's not a lot there. And I think that's why he's going to be huge for this team.
Yeah, I agree. It's going to be hard. He can do so many things. It's another conversation, but he can do so many things that you just wonder how high is the actual ceiling. In a perfect world where everybody stays healthy and he can compliment and somebody can compliment him and he can play on third and first down kind of deal. I mean, what is the ceiling for a Woody Marks when it's not – when it, like last year it was a, hey, man, you just got to be the bell cow, right? When it's a perfect scenario and he can – they can pick and choose how and when they want to use him, what's the ceiling look like? All right, number three, on top of Ingram and Brown on that right side of the offensive line, that run surface is nasty. Woody Marks, going to be hard to keep him off the field. Number three for me is C.J. Stroud's play. It appears that he's embracing the offense. And when I say that, it just seems like he's comfortable with what they're doing. And in the process, he's making other players' jobs less difficult. I just talked about Woody Marks, the play where there's double A-gap pressure. The fact that they're able to get out of the huddle quick enough, and C.J. Stroud's cool, calm, and collected at the line of scrimmage, he allowed time for Woody Marks to move up there in the offensive line so everybody could see what was going on, everybody could get comfortable and snap the football, and everybody knew what they were going to do and had a good clear head. That, a big part of that is C.J. Stroud and how he operates, right? Another play, this is a big piece, I think, of this year, a bigger piece of this year than what we've maybe given credit to. All right, they're going to be, or at least by in theory, they want to run the football so much, and they want to be a play action team. And Nick Caley has to be confident that when he calls a shot, when he calls a play that's either a shot down the field or a play that takes a little bit more time to unfold, he's got to trust that C.J. Stroud can come to the line of scrimmage and say, hey, this is not the look that we were looking to get to take advantage of. All right? So I got to take a peek and get the ball down to the check down. That's what I can't hang on to the ball. I can't extend the play. I can't try to figure and make that, like, he's got to understand, and he's got to trust that Nick Caley does, when he calls those shots, can C.J. make me right? If I don't get the look, can C.J. make me right and minimize risk, right? And it's not an easy thing to do. Easier said than done.
Because that's the game for them. Minimize risk.
That is it. And last night, C.J. Stroud earned some trust, man. Last night, C.J. Stroud, there was a hard play action with that deep crossing route, and it may have even been there if C.J. would have held on to it. But bottom line is they didn't get the look that they wanted. When he snapped the football, I think they dropped seven guys into coverage, and he came off that play action, took a quick peek, realized it was going to take too long for that over route to clear the last defender. He checked it down to Woody Marks, and that's great, right? But what's really important is on that play, Ed Ingram had a really suspect rep at pass protection. And what would have in the past been a sack or a hit on the quarterback or a pressure was a non-factor in the game because C.J. Stroud got through his progression, saw what was going on, checked the ball down, and he really saved Ed Ingram from being the talk of, man, you got a starting right guard that can run block like crazy, but he can't pass block worth a damn. Nobody's talking about it because C.J. Stroud
saved it. Yeah,
saved him, right? And that's what I mean when I say C.J. Stroud's making other players around him, he's making their job less difficult. Get out of the huddle quick enough and communicate quickly so that Woody Marks can get up there and know his assignment and read his keys, right? Beautiful. right? Recognize what's going on before the ball snap. Get your eyes back around and check to verify that they're dropping seven into coverage. Check the ball down. Make Ed Ingram's job less difficult on that given play. I mean, he did it multiple times last night, Ron, in 10 plays. I mean, so that is what the heck you're talking about when you want a certain brand of quarterback, and when you get that brand, how it makes everybody's job around them easier. So those are my three takeaways. Last night's preseason, Texans preseason game is in the book. Ed Ingram, Trent Brown at right side, they are a dominant force, and they're going to be a problem even in the regular season. Woody Marks with the angry run, and more importantly, the elite pass protection, and then C.J. Stroud doing things and playing a version of quarterback that's making everybody's job around him less difficult than it is if they're all in a rush. So really good night for the Texans offense, really good night for those individual players, and we walk away a better team from preseason game two. Real quick, boys, real quick. Big shout out to these Bernie boys representing Texas in the Little League World Series now. Bernie up there right outside of San Antonio, beautiful part of the Hill Country. They're playing Washington, Ron. They're down 4-3, bottom of six. They just loaded the bases, man. They just loaded the bases. Loaded the bases with no outs. Pressure's on Washington right here. One run ties it up. Two runs, I believe, wins it. They play six, don't they? Tell me they play in Little League. Bottom of six, no outs, bases juiced, Team Texas. Then Bernie boys are fixing to win this game, man.
I say old Jackson Jr. combined no-hitter for Iowa.
Oh, yeah?
A little CeCe. Yeah, he won a
– Oh, did he? Big
combined,
boy did?
They combined no-hitter earlier. They did the thing, yeah. All right, coming up as we continue, the Texans make a move. We heard reports about them potentially looking at trades. They've brought in two veteran receivers, Sterling Shepard, Zay Jones. We'll give you the latest on what they've been here recently and try to figure out what does that mean? What does that mean in terms of their confidence for the guys behind Nico? What does that mean about Tank Dell and his readiness? We'll discuss all that coming up next.
95.7 The Fan presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back into The Drive, and we appreciate you listening to Houston Sports Leaders and not other trash. We appreciate you rolling with us here live on The Fan. I do want to get to the new news here. The Texans, they have signed two veteran wide receivers, Sterling Shepard and Zay Jones. According to Mike Garofalo and Ian Rappaport, obviously the injury to Jaden Higgins. We heard earlier Aaron Wilson reported that they may be looking at trade candidates, but they have officially brought in Sterling Shepard, Zay Jones. I want to get to the bottom of that. But I've seen this come across multiple times, and I'll just say this to the people. If you are seeing a report that is not factual, it is not factual. Nobody else is reporting it. Adam Schefter did a podcast where he said he is hearing that the Texans and C.J. Stroud are not close right now on a contract. He did not give any numbers, but there is what looks to be a report that is being backtracked faster than Dion. C.J. Stroud has not ever once, no one has reported that he is asking for $70 million. That is insane and a lie. Hell, Patrick Mahomes got 64. There is no truth to that report. Okay? And it sucks because C.J. Stroud is somebody that has become polarizing to some. And, of course, C.J. Stroud coming off of his postseason to even think that he would even ask for $70 million, and I know some people are going to believe it, would just makes him look foolish and silly. It's not true. There has not been no confirmation or anything that anyone has reported of anything, of anybody that is worth a damn, that said that he is asking the Texans for not just record-breaking. I mean, this is out of control. No, I won't. I want $6-7 million more than Mahomes. No, it's not true. Okay. Now, Clint, your thoughts on the two signings, Sterling Shepard, Zay Jones. They bring them in. Sterling Shepard, 33 years old, 5'11", 194 pounds. Last year he was with Tampa. He had 39 receptions for 371 yards and a touchdown in 13 games. And then Zay Jones, who's a little bit younger, 31 years old, 6'2", 200. Last year he was with the Cardinals. He only played 8 games, which he had 12 catches, 183 yards, no touchdowns. He had a torn Achilles. That's what took him out. So he is trying to recover from that. So your thoughts about those moves, and then maybe a little bit after that, how that affects the Texans and the other guys, what it says about those guys.
Well, look, I think you just lack experience. I mean, at the end of the day, you lack real NFL experience beyond Nico Collins. Now you lack depth and you lack size, and that is exactly what your system requires, is, you know, receivers that can do everything and play every position, receivers that can block, and receivers that can be where you're supposed to be when you're supposed to be there and do what you're coached to do. And that is typically difficult for rookies to do, or young players that have never done it. And it would be risky to go into a season without some level, I think, of experience. And both of these guys bring experience. I don't know them personally, but both of them have been in the NFL and been with organizations for multiple years. Both of them have been depth receivers and understand the role of being a depth receiver and who you are and how you need to go about your business. I think both of them have good size. Particularly, I think it's Sterling Shepard has, or is it Zay? Zay's the bigger. Did you say Zay was the bigger one?
Yeah, Zay's 6'2", 200.
6'2", 200. So, this is good. I I love the fact that there's two of them, not just one of them. I think this is a really, really good, this puts him in a really good position. You got 3 weeks to teach him the offense. Assuming that you need them that long, and assuming that both of them have staying power, you got three weeks to teach them the system. You've even got guys, assuming that Jalen Noel can get healthy, you've got guys that can buy you an extra week or two, and you can look up and a month into the season, you know, that wide receiver room will have two more guys that are very dependable, that can definitely do the whole do your job type of approach to offensive football. They can definitely be part of a group that will complement a Nico Collins. So I like the sign. I like what both guys bring to the table. Neither one of them are burners. Both of them are guys that have to play the game between the ears and understand zone coverages and understand having good chemistry with the quarterback and that kind of thing. So I think they're both really good fits. I would say, correct me if I'm wrong, no disrespect, not minimum, I would say they're both closer to an Xavier Hutchinson type player when it comes to reliable, smart, decent size, not necessarily guys that are going to go win a bunch of one-on-one battles and man coverage type deals. So, but I think much needed depth, much needed experience. I think a really good play here for Nick Caserio and D'Amico Ryans to go get two, not just one.
You tell me, because you know how these things work better than I do, Clint. And 713-572-4610, your thoughts on what this means for the Texans as they add Sterling Sharp, 33, Zay Shepard. I say
been
Sharp.
A while since Sharp played.
Yeah, not Sterling Sharp. Yeah, I think he's
be nice.
He's
got be the nice neck injury. One of those walked
in
the door.
I think he just went in the Hall of Fame. Yeah, Sterling Shepard, excuse me, and Zay Jones. And one of the first things that came to my mind was, yeah, they're probably going to need some depth there. But I mean, it's hard not to take myself to a place of, are they lacking confidence in not just the guys that are healthy like Hutchinson, but what are their thoughts about Tank Dell? Like, because Clint, if Tank Dell was going to be ready, that would make sense that he could fill, you know, maybe some of that void from Higgins. But the Tank Dells, the Jalen Knowles, who we just haven't seen have contact yet since camp has started. Like, it is hard for me not to get to the point of they just aren't real comfortable which I can understand, not just real comfortable behind Nico Collins. Yeah. Anywhere else.
Well, you need guys. I mean, here's the deal. And I think Hutch fits this mold. But you need guys in your system, especially if you're going to be a system like this. And when I say like this, it's in everybody. We're not going to highlight Nico Collins. Nico's not going to – I mean, if he gets more touches, it's because the defense is giving you a look that's going to allow him to get more touches. We're not going to get real creative and make him priority number one. I hope they do. I think D'Amico should walk into Kaylee's office and tell him he better or he's going to be fired. But I don't think that's how they're going to operate. So what you need is you need guys that when you in the huddle, it's second nature. When you hear a formation, you've heard it in other offenses before, you know what it means. When you hear certain routes, a jerk route, a Texas route, whatever it may, pump route, whatever it may be, you've heard it before. You don't have to go get coached up on it. You know exactly what it is. You go execute it, right? They need guys in the system that when they're in a real game, they look up and they're getting some kind of pressure, right? They need guys that don't panic, that know what's going on, that have seen it before, that know how to beat it, that know how to be available for the quarterback. They need that. Right, and they need that in the wide receiver room across the board from a depth perspective. And I'm not saying the Isaiah Bonds of the world don't know that or can't get there. Hell, he was in Bill O'Brien's system. He should know. I'm not saying he can't get there. I'm not saying that 89 can't get there. And it won't be a guy that could do that right away. I'm just saying that they need some veterans experience that they know for a fact has done these things. And they know for a fact, hey, in 3 weeks they can be up to speed to that where they can play in an emergency situation. Hey, in 6 weeks they could be real options for us in this offense. And I think they needed it before the injury, and they damn sure need it now. So again, good move.
Yeah, it's a good move that makes you wonder how much. You know, it means for everybody else, right? The first reports we got, Clint, was potentially looking at trades for guys like Bouti and Rashad Bateman. I mean, those are starting receivers in the league,
yeah,
which I,
yeah.
Which I'm saying they, you know, that's what they lost with Higgins. But I mean, if you're looking at that avenue and then you're bringing other stuff in, like it wonders, like how much confidence do you have in Noel? How much confidence do you have that Tank's going to be healthy? How much confidence did you have in Hutchinson? How much confidence do you have in Jarrett Wayne? How much confidence do you have in those guys if we're hearing trades and you brought in guys for workouts? Maybe they got here for 20 minutes and they're here.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah, man. Look, I like it. I mean,
Watson in there too. Yeah. I mean, all those guys.
Yeah. I think they just know who they're getting in Justin Watson, right? And I think even you can argue that beyond Justin Watson, you need the help. I think they're very confident in what Justin Watson can do in this offense. Now, again, he's no Higgins, but get in there. I mean, hell, one play he sat in there in a tight formation in a cut split, and he blocked the defensive end for a quick hit and let Trent Brown get his pass set ready and balanced. I mean, it was. I think they like these guys, but the reality of it is, man. I mean, you're an injury away from being in a real, real pickle. Not only just a young guy, but having guys that have never played at the NFL level, and your whole offense is dependent on it.
Yeah,
I mean, so yeah, you got to get some cats in here. And these are both guys that I would think being on the streets 8/21. I would think these are guys that you know, you start getting some Tank Dells and some Jalen Knowles healthy. You can count these guys on the practice squad, and they're always right there available, and they know your system. So I think this is a great move.
All right, some guys that are stories last night that we hadn't really talked about yet. There's some good, there's some bad, and there's some horny, some football horny. We'll get to that coming up next.
95.7 The Fan presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, we will continue to look at the latest here, which is here in the last hour. The Texans, they brought in two new faces at the wide receiver position. Sterling Shepard, who last year played with the Bucks, and then Zay Jones. We've seen him with the Raiders, the Jags. He had a really good year with the Jags a couple of years ago when they made a playoff run. And then most recently last year with the Arizona Cardinals, coming off of an Achilles injury. But those two are now the latest to be in the fold at the receiver position. And Clint, they and we'll again, we'll talk more about it, but they join a lot of guys there now in that space, from Hutchinson to Jarrett Wayne to Jalen Noel to Tank Dell to Justin Watson to Bond. There are several guys that they join in, and they bring in two veterans. So that is the latest news there when it comes to that. All right, Clint, there was a lot that happened last night. We do a little good, the good, the bad, and the horny, the football horny.
Mm-hmm.
And some of this we have not really had a chance to talk with. You can go ahead and join this, too, if you're on the text line, 713-572-4610, YouTube, Twitch. What was the good, what was the bad, and what got you going? What almost got you to have to really stretch out and take your pants off and get excited?
Mm.
What I do, I get excited. What was it last night that you saw? All right, I'll start with the good. The good to me. Now, I have talked about this young man, and I said coming into it, I need to see something. And you tapped me on my arm. You said, there it is. There's the play.
Mm-hmm.
The good to me was Cade McDonald. Cade McDonald, I said, I just want to see one flash play. Just one thing of why they felt like they wanted to bring you in and use a number two pick, their number two pick, their second round pick on you, Cade McDonald. And he showed it. And this time, D'Amico Ryans didn't have to say he needs to go look at the film. Not this time. D'Amico said he wasn't even talking about Cade McDonald. He was asked a question about Marlon Klein. And he was just talking about Marlon Klein, loves being coached. And he brought up Caden himself. Nobody even got a chance to ask about him. He said it was good. He was happy for him that he made that big play. He said he had a better week of practice, showed him the things that he needed to improve upon, and he made that play. That was huge to see Caden McDonald perform like he did and see what he can provide, not only in the run game. He was taking on double teams, but also pushing the pocket back. So that was big to see Cade McDonald show up and have at least a big moment there.
Yeah, I mean, look, he is a highly touted rookie, obviously, and he's going to be he's in a position where it is a rotational spot, so he's going to get burned, he's going to get run. If he can, of course, do the boring part of his job, which is anchor down and handle double teams and occupy offensive linemen and allow those linebackers to roam, then he'll get more run. But if he can actually get in there and make plays like this, even though guard goes right, center goes left, there wasn't a whole lot of resistance there on that particular play. But it is a flash play. Any way you slice it, it's a flash play.
Absolutely.
So if he can make a few of those along with, you know, anchor down in a way that a 300-plus pounder should be able to do on the interior of a defensive line, then the volume of snaps goes up, and that'd be a beautiful thing for him, no question. If all three of these draft picks, which they're trending that direction, what a day for the first and second round picks and a fourth round pick for the Texans yesterday. I mean, Marlon Klein getting some more run and being the talk of the tight end room. Obviously, Rutledge getting talked about as the best offensive lineman on the team, not just the center, but the best on the team. And now you got Cade McDonald going out there and making plays. And Wade Woodaz with a pick six. I mean, so it was a good night for the 2026 draft class for sure.
Yeah, no, I was hoping to see something. We got to see it. And that was a big play. And he got on top of Fernando. He couldn't do nothing with him. All right, the bad. And I would like for some of you here on the text line to get out of my rundown sheet, please, to this person who just texted in. First off, Champ Slice said Caden was in the horny category for him. So,
oh, really?
It didn't get to horny.
I mean, it was all right. I mean, he didn't even get blocked. It was a blown protection.
He didn't get to horny for me, but it was good. Somebody texted in, all I know is Wyatt Teller was bad. Yeah, the bad is Wyatt Teller. Guys, wow. What is going on there?
Ass to the other side.
He's making Braden Smith look like he's...
Mm.
He's a good football player, and Braden Smith's ass is sitting over there and getting beat out by Trent Brown in the second unit. No, but wait, Wyatt Teller looks to be cooked, put in the oven. I mean, don't need a spatula. It is just over. And I'll be honest with you, I was talking to people in the press room yesterday at the half. Like, he could be a cut candidate. Like I'm either a cut candidate, release, something. Maybe, I don't know who would have traded for him. I don't know what, I don't know if you could even pull the Cam Robinson situation. I don't know. I don't know, but it is bad for him right now, Clint. And he, like you said, they're moving him over positions to try to see if maybe that can help. It just looks rough, and the numbers are not adding up to me for him either, because, I mean, Evan Brown looks like he's going to be the starting center. Jake Andrews is another interior player. They drafted the kid from Oklahoma. He's not going to get cut, right? Patterson, to me, is more versatile and shows that he can play. But Patterson has had a better camp than Wyatt Teller.
Patterson got an extension, didn't he?
And got an extension. That's four guys, yeah, right there in the interior. I don't
think it's a hot take or a stretch to say that, Ron. I mean, you've got between guys that are drafted, guys that have got extensions, or guys that can play guard, center, guard. Your chances are dwindling, and now you move to the other side of the ball behind the best guard on the team in Ed Ingram. I guess the highest paid guard on the team. That's not a good sign at all. I mean, the only player I think on that interior offensive line that may be in a similar boat is Jake Andrews. But if they're going to keep either one of those two, it would be Jake to have another center. So I don't know.
And Jake's not just getting his ass kicked like the way Wyatt is either. Right, I mean, right.
I think that's very fair based on the play. Now, I don't know how committed they are, but based on the play, it sure is leaving a lot to be desired.
And look, we saw what they did with Cam Robinson last year. I mean, they had to eat up a good amount of that. It has not looked good for him. I don't know how he could be one of your linemen that you keep. And it sucks that you paid that kind of money, but I don't love it. The Horny, I see some people texting in. Woody is damn near in there for me. You know how I feel and what I touch. But I think our football Horny is the same. Clint, the movement that Ed and Trent were able to get throughout that game, you could just see caved in old.
Yeah.
There was one, old 51. I don't know if he tried to hit Trent with a spin move. I'm not sure what he did, but he tried to hit him with a spin. Ed had kicked the guy's ass so hard that he spun into him, and then Trent, gotcha! Gotcha. And I mean, they were just getting driven back, looking like off their feet. It reminded me of, shout out to my son Nicholas, to that kid. They were just driving those kids back. Those grown men back. That was exciting to see, just because, like, I can see Big Red. Keelan Rutledge gets pushed. Mm-hmm. And then when they pull him over there, and they bring stuff, but they have been devoted to trying to run the football better. And it looked like, again, it was against that Raiders line. I get that, and I said that from the beginning. But they looked like they could get four to five at least every play they ran over there. And then they ended up running that way to get a 20-yard touchdown run. Woody did a lot at the end, but he was untouched for a bit. So that was, to see the movement that they got, that reached beyond the good to me.
More than enough to get good and turned on. You are right. And I bet there are some of those games, those gotcha games being played by those two there.
Man, that 51 spun. I don't know what he thought he was going to do. I don't know if he thought a screen was being set. 77 got his ass. Got him hemmed up. Nowhere to go. No, they were that was big time for them. All right, good night for the Texans. Good night for the Texans. Good first half for the Texans. Pretty much all around. Then it fell apart in the fourth quarter with some of the backups. All right, 5 o'clock fire on a Friday. There is the latest news on Jeremy Pena. We will let you know that. We'll get you ready for the Astros to see if they can recover from that ass kicking they took last night from the Angels. They got the A's in town. We'll get you ready for that, and we'll talk about it. The Texans, they've executed one angle on how they were going to go about things in terms of maybe filling the void for Higgins, and there's maybe some other ways that they're going to do it too. We'll do that as we continue right here live on The Fan.